almost a no-hitter as Detroit's Anibal Sanchez combined with four relievers to allow just one hit. The Tigers downing the Red Sox 1-0 in Game 1 of the American League Championship Series. Detroit left fielder Johnny Peralta drove in the game's only run, saying it's all in a day's work.
I try to be positive and try to help my team and try to win games every day.
Game 2 at Boston tonight. The Cardinals blanked the Dodgers 1-0 to take a 2-0 lead in the NLCS. St. Louis right fielder Carlos Beltran says the team is ready for Game 3 tomorrow in L.A.
It feels great. I mean, being able to take these first two games out of the series really means a lot. You know, now we have a, you know, we need to continue to win. You know, I mean, L.A. is going to be tough. The crowd over there is just really into it, and it's going to be packed, so it's going to be fun.
Dodgers have problems. They haven't scored in 19 straight innings. I'm John Belmont, AP Radio News.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We have a crazy show today. We have grape expectations. Get it? Thank you. We're doing
it's
all wine.
It's the first of many.
All
just
wine,
be prepared.
All the time, and my only wish is that I sober up in time for the Redskins game tonight. Oh, I don't want to call them the Redskins anymore.
No, you do not.
The Washington team's game. So I'm sure it's going to come as no surprise that in D.C. we drink more wine per capita than in any other U.S. city. So it should also not surprise, and we're going to drink it all today, that it's no surprise that D.C. Wine Week is a big thing. It starts today. It goes through the 19th.
Started yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I wrote this yesterday, so it did start today. Back off. The whole point of the event is to showcase local bars and restaurants and shops and wine consultants that make our wine scene so groovy. So with us today are Lisa Byrne. She's one of the Wine Week's founders. She's not a somm or a wine rep or a winemaker. She's a wine lover, which makes the fact that she got into it so.
Yeah, she's is me.
We're not done yet. Yeah, she is you. But with her is her co-founder, Vanessa French, who's the president of Pivot Point Communications. And she's a branding and media expert and part of the leadership team for DC Wine Week.
And also joining them.
Yeah.
Am I butting in?
No, you are, but go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. Also joining them is another Wine Week founder, Justin Harrison. He's also the founder of this really cool local wine membership club called Vino Lovers.
Actually, he's a partner of DC Wine Week.
Oh, you're a partner. My apologies.
Oh. There's a lot of founders.
Right. Everybody's involved. Well, that's cool. So anyway, you are the founder of Vino Lovers.
That is correct.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And we're going to find out more about that. We also have in with us Allison Marriott. She is wine consultant and founder of Bon Vivant.
So happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
We love having you. And John Corson is here. He is the wine educator and principal wine specialist for the Crystal City Wine Shops. He's going to say hello.
Hello,
everybody. Hello. All right, there we go.
Hello. Oh, sounds like Barry White. Hello, baby. Hello, babies.
All right.
Jamie Smith, GM and the head somm at Veritas Wine Bar is here.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning. Of wine, everybody.
Oh, he's got an accent. And Cassandra Tressler, who, along with her husband, DeStevi, owns Tradewind Wines, and they distribute Spanish wines across the U.S.,
Good morning.
Good morning. And last but never least in my heart and on this list is Christiane Ricci, who is the owner and chef of Ricci on 19th Street. She's a huge award winner. She won the Insegna del Ristorante Italiano from the president of Italy, Accidenti. And she's got one of the best Italian restaurants here, there, or anywhere. And we're going to be telling the story shortly. Nikki and I sealed our marital deal there about 100 years ago.
We didn't get engaged there.
Yeah, but that's where you begged me to marry you.
I did beg you. So. Clearly, I had no other option.
Please, you big stud, marry me. So, Lisa, Vanessa, let's start with you guys.
Sure.
A few months, what, a couple months ago, mm-hmm. we had the guys from DC Beer Week in here, and there are a lot of weeks happening, and it's very interesting.
And they're all DC-centric, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But tell us how you guys got together to make this DC Wine Week happen, because unlike DC Beer Week, which incorporates more local beer, although it does include beers from all over the world, like DC Wine Week, like what is the concept DC Wine Week? Like, why did you two come up with it?
Well, we went to brunch at Belga Cafe, and we were sort of lamenting. It was kind of a restaurant. Yeah, yeah, but a wonderful brunch nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And you know, it got a little boozy, and we were sort of lamenting a little bit that gosh, there's beer week, there's bacon week, there's all sorts of weeks, but why doesn't anyone have a wine week? You know, we love wine, and we like to imbibe in it. And we like to go to the wineries. You know, so why isn't somebody celebrating that? And we kind of looked at each other and said, why don't we do that? How hard could that be?
It's pretty hard.
So that year, that was our first year. That was 3 years ago. And in 6 weeks.
2 years ago.
This is our third year. Thanks, Lisa. She's better at math than I am. And so that was in 6 weeks, we put together a logo and website, thanks to Casey Kinchlow and Infamia. And we got the blog up. We got 7 events and promoted them and got everything going in 6 weeks, which was pretty incredible.
So we started on social media. You know, used Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube. Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think?
What was your goal? What were you looking to do with DC Wine Week?
Well, we really, you know, I wanted to sort of encourage and I wanted to promote all the growing wine bars. At that time, there were just a few wine bars. You know, just a few on 14th Street. Now it's like there's one, you know, you can't even shake a stick without, you know, hitting a wine bar. And, you know, the wineries, it just felt like nobody really knew about all these great wines that we have that are local wines. At the time, it was only 240-something wineries. Now there's 288. I just wanted to promote those local wines and people buying local and the wine bars and the restaurants and the shops. It didn't seem like anyone was really promoting them or encouraging people to sort of buy local. And we're big proponents of buying local, and we're wine enthusiasts, and we thought, what a great combo. And we do events and PR and promotion, and we thought, you know, that would be a fun thing to do. And it's really become a labor of love. We do it all year long, and we really enjoy it. We love it.
Well, let's talk about the events a little bit. I mean, how are you constructing the events, and what can people who want to participate in DC Wine Week find?
Yeah, well, there's all sorts of events. So last night was our kickoff at Veritas, and that was amazing. And then for the rest of this week, tonight we have yoga and wine. So for those who want to de-stress and do a little...
Really de-stress.
De-stress. And want to do some downward dogs and upward sips, we've got wine from Early Mountain Vineyards, and we'll be at Vita.
Oh, we did a live remote from their vineyard in California. In Virginia. It was fabulous.
Yeah, full disclosure, they're also our clients. So, so we're really excited about that. We've got Mimi Rieger, who is just no joke in the yoga arena. So we're going to be doing a little bit of yoga and then a little bit of wine sipping. Mm-hmm. If the weather's nice, hopefully on the rooftop at Vita, we'll see. And then we've got Columbus Day at the Coop, and the Coop is really amazing. They're kind of on trend right now, although Jamie might chime in and say maybe not so much because Veritas has been doing this as well, is that their wine's on tap, and they're really excited.
Well, I want to talk about that later because I think you're finding wines on tap more and more around the city. I mean,
you
Prosecco
are.
On tap, et cetera.
Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, it's something that they want to highlight and they want to share that they've got. And then we also have the Greek Embassy is going to be joining us on Tuesday. We're really excited. I'm half Greek, so very happy to have
Which half?
The mother's app, the motherland.
That wasn't where he was going.
I was trying to avoid that part. So we've got them at Kalari, and we're really excited about that. And then we've got Iriki for Italian Fest Night, and so we're really excited about that. It's going to be amazing.
Got your plug in.
Yeah. We have got, this is a real treat. We've got Christiane, who is the chef and owner, and she's obviously here with us today.
But I'm going to jump in because we're going to... keep coming back to you guys to hear about more events.
Sure,
I want to bring Justin Harrison into this. And by the way, if you're listening, you can go to dcwineweek.com and get all of this. It's right up there on the homepage.
Yeah, and you can follow all the fun events on our hashtag, which is also DC Wine Week, too.
All right. Okay. Justin, so you're the founder of, along with your involvement in DC Wine Week, of Vino Lovers. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we're a little outlier here. We're not from the restaurant industry or the event side. We are a wine e-commerce company. Based out of here in D.C., and the belief is that we wanted to make wine more approachable to the masses, and I'm sure that's going to be a common theme amongst everybody here. But we are a personalized wine subscription site that helps people find wines based on their preferences. So we built technology to build a better online experience, and so we built a wine questionnaire that does a palate assessment, figures out your favorite preferences towards, you know, different fruits, different aromas, how you take your coffee or tea. And then we send you these wines on a monthly basis.
How many wines are you sending every month?
Oh, so we have three wines in our pack. Okay. We have different price points. Three wines for $45 for our taster category, those who are looking for an introduction to wines. Mm-hmm. We have our journeymans for people who have a little more expansive palate and they want to try some pretty cool, fun stuff. Those are three wines for $65. And then we have three wines for $90 for our more connoisseur packages, you know, people who, you know, like the more high-end stuff.
And then can people, if they really like the wines, can then they then order those wines from you? Is that part of the process?
It is a totally subscription-based. So it really is a modern spin on the club model. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can go in, you take the recommendation tool, you'll get the wines that are catered to your palate. And then we also build a technology that allows you to rate your wines along the way. So it's always constantly refining to find the right wines for your palate.
And where are you pulling your wines from? How do you go about doing your research for your wines?
Yeah, so we source directly from boutique wineries. Mm-hmm. You know, part of my mission, I worked with a winery out in Sonoma when I was in a business school, and he was a really small producer, and he had a tough time getting his product on the shelves of retailers. So we built Vino Lovers as a platform that enables them to reach new markets and really expand where they can with ship. So we only source from direct wineries, boutique wineries.
And are we just domestic, international?
International and domestic. Mm-hmm. So importers and directly from wineries.
So what do you guys do, if anything, for people who are real novices and they're sort of intimidated by wine and they'd love to do it? They're probably not going to go for the top package. Is there some sort of educational aspect to this too?
Of course, that's really one of the foundations of it. So we actually,
I knew that answer.
There you go. That's
like a lawyer, never ask a question that you don't know the answer.
Thanks for the setup. I appreciate that. So you know, we actually put together videos for all our wines. So you know, somebody who wants to know where the Viognier is, we actually will tell them, you know, the origins of the Viognier, what particular features come in that bottle. So that they feel education, because really that's where the fun comes into play. People know the difference between chicken and pork, but they don't know the difference between most times from a Pinot Noir and a Cabernet. And so we want to make sure that we are help people along the way and figure that out.
Nothing I like better than a bottle of pork.
There you go.
Exactly. So how are you participating in DC Wine Week?
So we are one of the partners for DC Wine Week. Mm-hmm. Vanessa and Lisa have been great to Vino Lovers in helping us with our promotional stuff. And so we're returning the favors. We'll be at a number of events this week. Tomorrow morning, we will be on Channel 5 at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. Talking about DC Wine Week. So, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the wines you're pouring today.
Yeah, so today I brought...
Everybody grab a glass.
So today I brought a French Malbec, and I love Malbecs, right? And obviously they're very much in vogue because they fit in that Venn diagram of affordable and quality, right? In that like purple center, right? And obviously they got purple red wine, mm-hmm. right? This is 100% Malbec from France. You know, France, actually the Malbec grape was one of the premier blending grapes of France, and then they took it to Argentina where it became popular. So, you know, I think this is just a fun sipping wine, nice acidity, little chocolate on the nose. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good to drink at 11:15 in the morning.
I think it's good to drink anytime.
Yeah.
So tell me, though, when you're talking to your potential customers, how, like a French Malbec, most people know, really, the South American Malbec now. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's inexpensive, so it has a larger reaching market. So how do you educate your potential members on trying something new and sort of selling them on that product?
Well, you always have to start with figuring out what do they currently like to drink, right? Mm-hmm. You know, what are you comfortable with? And, you know, the beautiful thing about wine is that essentially, you know, you have these different categories based on where it's from, you know, the different varietals, and you can shift people towards trying these different wines. So if you are Argentinian Malbec drinker, you know, mm-hmm. it's an easy sell essentially to bring them into France or to bring them to Nero d'Avola out of Italy. You know, they're very similar style wines. And so we just want to take them along that journey and help them.
Terrific. All right, great. Yeah. Well, this is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We are drinking lots of wine in studio. We're going to be talking more DC.
More. More.
Yeah. We're going to be talking more DC Wine Week when we get back.
Come celebrate Central Farm Market's 5th anniversary season with the freshest produce, dairy, baked goods, fresh fish, meats, poultry, and specialty foods around. Enjoy music, wine tastings, cooking demos and classes, and kids' activities at two great locations. Sundays 9 to 1 in downtown Bethesda and Saturdays from 9 to 2 in North Bethesda, Rockville. Come out and see for yourself why Washingtonian and Bethesda magazines hail the markets as the best in the metro area. To learn more and sign up for the weekly e-blast, visit www.centralfarmmarkets.com. The two central locations in downtown Bethesda and North Bethesda, Rockville are kid-friendly and dog-friendly, have plenty of parking and great food. For a listing of food artisans, events, and exact addresses, check out www.centralfarmmarkets.com. That's centralfarmmarkets.com. See you this weekend.
Hi, this is Hillary Howard. Join me October 12th and 13th for the Law Enforcement Ride and Run to Remember. This year, we have 55 or 30-mile bike rides held at National Harbor Saturday, October 12th, and a 5K in Washington at the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Sunday, October 13th. The Law Enforcement Ride and Run to Remember raises funds and awareness while commemorating the service and sacrifice of law enforcement officers. Go to rideandruntoremember.org to register today.
If talking and texting interferes with a walk down the street, imagine what might happen if you're driving. Focus on the road, not your conversation. Your brain can't do both safely. No dialing, no talking, no texting to arrive safe.
Hi, I'm Brooke Delaney.
And I'm Congressman John Delaney.
As a teen, I know not to text while driving. My dad and I ask you to focus on the road, not your conversation.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hello there. You're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. And DC Wine Week started yesterday. And I guess you'll all be complimented when I say we have a bunch of winos in the studio.
Absolutely.
We're talking wine. Justin Harrison is with Vino Lovers. Justin, what's the competition like for you out there? Are there lots of sites that are trying to do what you're doing?
Yeah, there, I mean, there are a number of sites selling wine online, but we're amongst a small class. They're actually bringing this personalized approach to the subscription model. You know, I think that we've built an outstanding brand. I didn't bring my boxes in here, but your wines come in these beautiful red boxes. You know, we've integrated our site with a number of different social features that allows you to take pictures and, you know, of you and your friends enjoying wine. And then, you know, essentially you become part of this larger Vino Lovers community. So yeah, but we're amongst, you know, we're pretty good.
Cool. All right. Well, we've got about 30 seconds here. You want to give your web address?
Yeah, absolutely. Vinolovers.com. There's a splash page up right now where you can input your email address and you will go into our newsletter feed and we'll send you all kind of good stuff. We're actually, dropping our first orders in November. So sign up, you get your wine for Thanksgiving, your Christmas gifts, Vinolovers.com.
Awesome.
Great gift idea.
Thanks very much.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Jamie, step to it.
How you doing?
Hi, Jamie.
Well, Jamie Smith is with Veritas.
I just want to say, people may remember 6 years ago, Veritas was sort of the first wine bar on the D.C. scene. Mm-hmm. It's a little darling, like, gem.
Absolutely.
Off of DuPont Circle. Mm-hmm. And as we were talking about off air, yes, please pour that wine for me. Thank you very much.
It's only a radio show until she starts getting wine poured.
That's fair enough. That's what it's all about.
Then it's like everybody just stop.
But as we were talking about off air, the wine bar scene has changed drastically in D.C. There are more wine bars now. And, of course, there are lots of restaurants that have incredible wine programs. How does Veritas position itself today?
I think with what we have, you know, we were one of the original wine bars in Washington, D.C. And, yeah, as you said, there are some amazing, amazing wine bars out there, wine-centric restaurants. But yeah, I think we're just a little bit different that we are not a restaurant. You know, you look at other places, they have great food menus, they have that, and you're pairing wines with what the chef is making and things like that. With us, we have cheese, charcuterie, chocolate. So it's one of the few places that you come in, you order your wine first, and then you decide what you're going to eat with it. So it's about picking out the wine, being excited about trying something different, something that you love, or, you know, and then going from there rather than the other way around where you go out, you pick your dinner, you know what you're eating, and then you speak to a sommelier or a wine guy about what wine's going to pair with that. So the wine truly becomes the focus rather than it being, you know, food driven.
Well, let's talk about how you educate the people who come in or how you assist the people who come in selecting the wines that you have and how you go. It's a two-pronged question. How do you help the people order the wine and how do you go about curating the wine that you have?
Yeah, absolutely. So as far as the educational side of things and getting people to try things is we do a lot of wine flights. We have 10 or 12 different wine flights, and we have 75 wines by the glass. So there's a big selection. People can try some cool different things that are fun. But the wine flights, you get 3 half glasses, either set by a region or a grape varietal or something like that. So if someone's a Pinot Noir fan, they can do our Pinot Noir flight and try a Pinot from Burgundy, a Pinot from Oregon, and then a Pinot from California side by side and see how it goes. And, you know, different wines from Spain, you know, if we take something, you know, Albarino that a lot of people know, but then we'll throw like a Chocolina in there, which people might not walk in generally and order off the street, but they're like, well, I know this and I know this and I like Spanish wine. So they'll be prepared to give it a go. And another big thing is staff education. And I talk to my guys on a daily basis. When someone comes in and says, hey, I want a Malbec or I want a Pinot Noir or they want a Chardonnay, and they use one of those wine buzzwords, and it's like, yeah, we have a Pinot Noir and we can do a Pinot Noir. Do you want to do that? Or do you want to try something that's like a Pinot Noir, a little bit different, like a Zweigelt, a Gamay or something like that? And, you know, with it, anyone who comes in and tries something, if I give someone a glass of wine and they don't love it and they want something different, they can get something else because life's too short to be drinking something you're not having fun with.
Right. Well, I can tell from your accent that you're from Wisconsin, which is a big
home of the Badgers.
Big beer drinking state. Where did you get your wine education? How did you fall in love with wine?
So I moved to the States about 10 years ago and was part of a team that opened up a restaurant in downtown DC. And I got to be the box boy, the cellar rat, and did all the work that no one else wanted to do.
Are you not going to tell us which restaurant?
Sounds like our house.
It was Indie Blue.
Oh, okay.
Back in the day down by the Verizon Center. So I worked there and kind of worked my way up. I came here knowing nothing about wine, red wine, white wine, wine that had bubbles. And I just got to work with some really, really good people that took me under their wing and I got a passion for it. And I'm like, this is really exciting. I can do this. And, you know, I got into it because there was, you know, a little bit of an obnoxious tone on wine sometimes, people a little pretentious. I'm like, I can do this and get wine to people without having that kind of pretentious thing. It's meant to be fun. It's meant to be enjoyable. And that's what I try to bring to people at Veritas.
That's one of the things that I was wondering about, you know, particularly at Veritas. You know, people who are complete novices and don't know anything, sometimes you just hear people say it. They feel like they're too late to the game and that everybody else already knows so much and they don't want to come in and either look stupid or be stupid about ordering wines or not knowing anything. And so what do you guys do there? Are there classes there that...
Yeah, we do a lot of wine classes. You know, Saturdays we do wine classes. Myself and Alison, we actually do a really fun monthly event called Vino versus Vino, where we'll take two regions and we'll do wine side by side and put them down blind.
Well, that's smart.
People taste them. And
same grape, same grape?
So, yeah, well, same grape or same style. So
okay.
Last month we did California versus Australia. So we did a California sparkling, Australian sparkling, then two Rieslings, two Pinots, and two Cabernets.
Okay, can I just interrupt? What is it with Riesling? Why do all you wine people like Riesling?
Because it's such...
I can't stand Riesling. I don't like it.
It's the best grape on the world, and there's such a range from being absolutely bone dry to really, really sweet and everything in the middle.
But yeah, you know, every show, she brings that up.
So no, I don't, because she, everybody
you know what?
Up
no,
Riesling.
No, no. She's dying to find somebody that'll give her a different answer.
No.
Rieslings
says,
are good, and you're weird.
There's so many grapes out there. If you don't like Riesling, there's hundreds of other grapes to enjoy. So
I just can't tell you how many sommeliers have been like, no. I've got one that you're going to like. And I'm always like, I mean, it's okay. I'm just not going to order it. It just always feels like such a high sugar wine to me. I just can't get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there definitely are those kind of Rieslings, but there's definitely stuff on the other end of the scale as well. And it's the same, you know, people say, I don't like this as a blanket statement. You know, there's different styles of different wines out there, but you can find them.
All right. Question about, let's get back to DC Wine Week and not your interest in wine. Good Lord.
Well, I have a radio show. What other time am I supposed to ask?
You're supposed to ask on your own time. What do you have going on for DC Wine Week?
So DC Wine Week, last night we did the launch party, which was fantastic. Had loads of people come in and, you know, a lot of my small little local distributors helped us out by bringing some wines in. The guys at Metro Cellars and the boys at Slow Down Wines gave us their Broken Dreams. Some of the wines that Cassandra's going to talk about, they bought in to get people into there. And yeah, we had...
Oh, and we had Barbersville, too.
We had Barbersville as well. So we, you know, and a little Krakova, Moldova, and sparkling. So some real cool, fun stuff that's, you know, not all over the place. And yeah, it was just get people in, get them to try some wines. We did 7 wines that were paired with a selection of cheese and charcuterie that people could go through. And then as far as that, you know, we did a... a tweet thing last year with DC Wine Week, so I like to support it.
a tweet up.
Okay, that was the first time I'd ever used Twitter, so I've done. I got really excited with this whole new technology. So, but yeah, so I just think DC Wine Week is fantastic to bring people in, and also, you know, as we talked about a little bit, you know, the Veritas, we've been there for 6 years, and it's really nice that someone like DC Wine Week can, you know, get us to be seen, you know, because, you know, it's fun. So we've done that event, and, you know, we've got all the notes and things, and we're going to send anyone down to any other events that DC Wine Week is doing.
All right.
Well, all right, now he does have to tell us what he poured.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wine. What did you pour?
So
hopefully it wasn't Riesling.
I don't know. Taste me and tell me if you like it, it's Riesling. If it's not, I'll tell you something different. I've got three wines here that we can drink as we go. The one in the glass right now is Ampichon. It's 100% Roussanne from the south of France. And just what I think is fun about this is, you know, coming into this time of the year, you're talking about wines, you know, going into the fall and things like that. And when I was picking these wines out at the beginning of the week, I'm like, oh, it's nice, it's warm, it's this. And then today it got cold. I'm like, that doesn't work anymore. So this is kind of rich. It's got, you know, it's got that weightiness about it. And for someone who wants to do something that's a little bit different and likes a Chardonnay but doesn't want to do a Chardonnay, Roussanne could be kind of fun. The two other wines that we can drink as we go through, we've got a Tempranillo from Munia.
You know what?
Toro.
I hate to do this. We're going to hear about them later. We got so many people in the studio.
Yeah,
I want to bring Christiane Ricci up to the mic.
There we are.
Don't be mad at me.
I'm not.
Always be mad at Nikki, never at me.
You can be mad
Perfect.
At me.
Sounds
okay
good.
So, Christiane, you have one of the great, not just the great Italian restaurants, but one of the great restaurants in Washington, D.C., Ricci down on 19th Street. And, I guess, first and foremost, let's talk a little bit about you and how you got into this in the first place, because you haven't got an Italian accent. So
No, but I told you, I got rid of my New York accent.
Yeah, you're from New York.
I'm a New Yorker. I'm a New York girl, Long Island girl. Went to Italy back in, you can't add up the years, promise.
Okay. Well,
I went to Italy in 1971 as an art major.
101.
Yeah, you got it.
Stop.
71 as an art major. Fell in love with Italy. Fell in love with the culture, the wine, the food, the people, the art. I was a painter, the color, the light, and ended up living there for about 18 years.
Got into the restaurant business.
Got into the restaurant business over there first.
Got in the restaurant, met a guy, Francesco, whose family owned and still runs a little trattoria outside of Florence, and became very involved in the restaurant. And Francesco and I built this little family business into one of the best-known trattorias in Florence.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1988, decided we were going to leave the family business and come to the States and open Ricci, which we did in January of 1989.
Wow.
I mean, that's a longer lifespan than some human beings have. It's really pretty amazing.
Yeah. It is pretty amazing.
Let's get to DC Wine Week. What are you doing?
Oh, this was a wonderful opportunity for us. You know, we have a 100% Italian wine list. And when we were approached, we said, okay, this is our time to finally focus on some fantastic Italian wines. There's so many wonderful Italian wines. It was very easy for me. I went to our distributors, said, show me what you'd like to present. And we selected 16 wines that we'll be offering that night together with, we're going to have a grill outside and grill and we'll have food and it'll be great.
And Christiane, you're going to be doing the grilling, right?
I'll be doing everything, as usual, running around everywhere.
Which I think is going to be a real treat for those who are attending, so it'll be exciting.
Well, we're looking forward to it. We're going to do it outside in the plaza, in the piazza, in front of the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And God willing, it's supposed to be 75 degrees,
so that's
dry.
That's Wednesday night,
Wednesday night.
Yeah. I'm available, by the way.
Yeah, please come. We're pouring some fantastic wines.
Well, so tell us how, over the years, Ricci has evolved and changed and kept up to date in the changing DC food scene.
Yeah, actually we noted about 5 years ago that there was a huge change in the restaurant scene. I mean, everybody knows what's happening, and actually we are evolving, and we are about to start to make some huge changes to the restaurant. We're going to be under construction. We're going to be adding a beautiful coffee bar and. We're going to be changing the way we present our food a little bit. Still high quality food, great wine, but the way we present it's going to be a little bit more contemporary, a little bit more appealing to a younger demographic.
Okay. Great. That sounds terrific.
So,
what are you going to be pouring?
Okay, I have lots of wine I want you to taste, but the first one is a Vernaccia di San Gimignano,
okay,
which is the only...
Ci sono stato.
Bellissimo posto. It's the only white Italian wine in Tuscany.
Okay.
This particular vineyard, Montenidoli, is owned and run by a woman.
Mm-hmm.
It continually gets the best marks as the best Vernaccia in Tuscany. She's quoted as saying it's the soul that produces great wine, and she's only there to guide the grapes into wine.
Oh, wow.
What an altruist.
Yeah, she's quite a lady. So you'll see it. The color is really kind of this dark yellow. It ages a little bit in the bottle. It has kind of an intense, ripe pear and apple taste.
We are going to have to break for a commercial.
And then when we come back.
I know. And we just want to say that San Gimignano has the best torture museum in the world.
Right? It does.
Not just one, several.
Scare the crap out of us.
How you knew that?
We were there.
This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We are discussing DC Wine Week. We're going to be drinking more wine. We'll be back in just a sec.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Soldiers returning with traumatic brain injuries or other serious battle wounds often spend weeks or months in a VA hospital or other rehab facility. DVDs for Vets is collecting DVDs and portable players for distribution in our community and nationwide. Many of us take for granted our access to everyday enjoyments, and DVDs for Vets needs your help in giving these injured soldiers some diversions from the monotony of a hospital stay during recovery. To donate new or used DVDs or to learn more about this worthy cause, please go to www.dvdsforvets.org.
Signs, so subtle we may not notice them. Signs like loss of interest in activities. Signs like insomnia, fatigue, or withdrawing from friends.
Hey, dear, we come play cards with us.
Even talking about wanting to die. These are signs of depression.
Hi, my name is Smitty. My husband, Congressman Jerry Connolly, and I urge you to take signs of depression seriously. Let your loved one know you care, then seek help from a doctor or mental health professional.
Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
On Thursday, October 17th, join the Wounded Warrior Project for the Red, White, and Barbecue Charity Golf Event. The funds raised will assist service members who have been injured in the line of duty. All proceeds from the Red, White, and Barbecue Charity Golf Event will be donated to the nonprofit organization Wounded Warrior Project and will support a full range of programs and services for this generation of injured veterans and their families. For more information, visit redwhiteandbarbecue.com. That's redwhiteandbarbecue.com.
Back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're talking DC Wine Week. .com. And Christiane Ricci is in here. Her restaurant down on 19th Street is participating. You poured us a great-looking wine. What is it?
Yeah, it's we can't talk about Italian wines without talking about a Chianti Classico. Mm-hmm. But this is a really unusual one. This vineyard was bought about 20 years ago by an American by the name of Frank Grace. It's called Molino di Grace, or Italians would say Molino di Grace. It's a vineyard that was in disrepair south of Panzano in Chianti, and he took it over, and he is really focused on sustainability, and it's very eco-friendly. It's been a vineyard for 350 years, and he's gone back and kind of revitalized this. So leave it to an American to bring back the best of Tuscany, and he's very, very conscious of Tuscan tradition and tries to stay within that in creating this wine.
It's delicious.
It's amazing.
It is. It's
all really right. Amazing. So let's make sure the world knows where you're. I mean, the few uninformed people that don't know where it is and where you are online.
Yeah. Well, we're right near DuPont Circle, 1220 19th Street, between M and N. ericidc.com. Join us on Facebook. We are going to be having all kinds of wine seminars on Wednesdays. Our next one is going to actually be a whiskey tasting. And after that, a moonshine tasting.
Really?
Is that every Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay, good to know.
Fun. And look for the big flashing sign out front that says David and Nikki sealed their deal here. All right, so Allison Marriott.
Hi there, how are you?
You're on the microphone. You are the founder of Bon Vivant, correct?
I am indeed, yes.
What does that mean?
So Bon Vivant is a French term. Technically, it's translated as a good liver. Not the organ, but one who lives well.
I got me a good liver.
But you need one of those, too, if you're going to be in this business. Uh-huh. So the Americans have kind of co-opted that term and put their own spin on it. Basically, it's one specifically who enjoys food and wine. So it's a foodie, a wino. That's a bon vivant. I like to have a good time with wine, and you know, in my opinion, wine is meant to enhance the quality of your life.
Is that what that phrase for a good time called bon vivant? Is that?
yeah, you can totally take it in that direction. I mean, you know, it's absolutely, wine is, in my opinion, a life enhancing. You know, you use it at celebrations, back porch wine nights. So it's all about enjoying life, and that's why I went with the name
week?
I did. Yeah, absolutely.
Shameless plug.
Absolutely. It falls right in with what DC Wine Week's trying to promote.
So how do you get involved with corporate clients and individuals? How do you work with people?
So I have a blog that I post every Thursday. I try and keep it pretty accessible. You know, wine doesn't need to be snobby. One of the really cool things that our listeners can't see is this is a pretty young crowd, which you don't always see in the wine world. Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't need to be, you know, swirl and sniff and stick your nose in the air about it. It's all about, having a good time.
Young at heart, John.
So I do blog consistently just about wine and everyday life and trying to educate people. A lot of times I find that the more you know about a wine, the more, at least I enjoy it. So mm-hmm. I do wine education classes. Jamie mentioned Vino versus Vino. The next one is actually coming up on the 14th. Mm-hmm. So if anybody has any ideas about which countries you want to see going up head to head, go ahead and tweet us and let us know what you think. We'll take your opinions. The drinkers decide at this event.
Oh, fun. That is really fun. Do you do things when you do these like mashups? Do you do things like maybe Sauvignon Blanc out of New Zealand versus Sauvignon Blanc out of California?
I mean, absolutely.
Is that the kind of differences that people are looking to see?
Absolutely. You know, grapes, people think, you know, a Sauvignon Blanc is a Sauvignon Blanc is a Sauvignon Blanc. Mm-hmm. And that's just not true.
Is it a Sauvignon Blanc?
Well, it could be. But when you go to a restaurant, you know, my sister is just nuts about the New Zealand Marlboro Sauvignon Blancs.
So I happen
to be a Sancerre girl, personally.
I'm a Sancerre. Me too.
Okay, all right. So we've got some like minded. But people come down very strongly on either side. Mm-hmm. So part of what we try and do is just really educate people about the differences to give them the tools and the vocabulary to go in and make more informed decisions about their wine selections they're making.
And how are you participating right now in DC Wine Week?
So I've been really active and fortunate to be involved in the blogging that they've been so gracious to extend, guest blogging posts. And then in terms of just general kind of publicity, you know, the wine world is a small world in DC. So we all try and support one another as much as we can.
I'd like to add, too, that I've been reading Allison's blog, and that's kind of where I get my own education. And I thought, I need to know this gal. I need to know more about what she's doing, what's going on. So we reached out, and we thought it would be great if she could guest blog for us, if we somehow could get her involved with our events in some way. So
terrific.
And then I also just learned that you are recently going out to Virginia Wine Country, which is very exciting because we're big Virginia Wine Ambassadors here.
Yeah. It's my newest rollout, brand new as of last week, is I'm offering a Virginia Wine Concierge program.
Neat.
I'm shying away from the term tour because I really am trying to take a customized approach because, in my opinion, one size doesn't fit all when it comes mm-hmm. to wine. We already had the Sauvignon Blanc discussion. And the great thing is there's so much out there in Virginia. So really customizing the experience mm-hmm. for my clients is what I'm really looking to do.
Great. All right. So tell us what you poured.
So I actually poured a Peak Pool. One of the things that I really focus on is branching people out of their wine ruts. Mm-hmm. My favorite part of my job is the look on somebody's face when I pour them something they've never heard of, that they never knew they loved, and turning them on to something new that they can enjoy. I actually poured a peak pool at my own wedding 3 years ago, and no one had heard of it, but everyone loved it. Delicious. So it's from the southwest of France, the Languedoc region. The nice thing about this wine is you don't have to break the bank. You don't have to buy these mass-produced wines that are going to cost you an arm and a leg for advertising. You want a winemaker who puts your money, their money, excuse me, where your mouth is. And that's what some of these smaller producers do. So with the Peak Pool, some of the lesser known varietals, lesser known regions, you're really going to find that. So it's medium bodied, perfect with seafood, really nice fruit, but you also get that minerality coming in there. And the best thing about this wine is, as palatable as it is to a variety of people, it's $9.99 at Chats Liquors on Barracks Row. So you don't have to break the bank. That's like two venti lattes for five glasses of wine.
Great. Well, I want to thank you so much. We do have to move on.
Absolutely. And it is a delicious wine. Thanks so much for having me.
I totally agree with you. All right, John Corson.
Step to the mic,
John. Step up to the mic, John.
So, John is a wine educator with Washington Wine Academy, and he's the principal wine specialist out at Crystal City Wine Shops. And John, you must be a busy guy. Are you teaching classes at the academy and working full-time at the shops?
Well, right now, we just opened a new shop, so I'm spending most of my time in the shop now. It's in Crystal City, and it really
Where is it in Crystal City?
It's on the corner of 20th Street and Crystal City Drive.
Oh, okay.
So
it's right there. Right in the middle of everything.
Right next to it. So that's, we just opened it, 10 days ago? So I've spent a lot of time there over the last 2 months.
I can still hear the cash register ringing.
Well, if it wasn't for furloughs and a hurricane, you know, things would be a lot further along. But yeah.
And so are you listening, Democrats and Republicans? Get it together.
So how does, but is the Washington Wine Academy a part of the wine shop, or are they two separate things?
Well, they are separate companies. However, the Washington Wine Academy is the owner of the two Crystal Wine Shops.
Okay, great.
And the Academy has been around since 1999. Right. It was founded by Jim Barker.
We've had Jim in studio before.
Oh, okay. So, well, you know him.
Yes,
and
we do.
So really are there to educate or help to continue educate the Washington market. And as a we do it in two forms. We have a studio where we have classes, therefore people in the industry, as well as just wine enthusiasts. And we do intermediate, advanced, beginner classes. In fact, we also do classes where we bring specialists from or winemakers from around the world. October 21st, Monday, we are bringing in the winemaker of the year from Chile. And we're going to do a class there. He's going to tell us about what he's been doing over the years. And
is that what you're pouring? What are you pouring?
No, actually, we're this is Virginia Wine Month.
That's right. That's month. Very true. It is Virginia
Wine
Month. So
you know, D.C. Wine Week is a week. Virginia has the entire month to celebrate.
Well, they're bigger.
They already actually have
there
some
are
vineyards.
A lot of wineries. Yeah. So, so Jim is going, or not Jim? I'm sorry. John is going to. Is going to talk about some amazing Virginia wines that he's brought.
I saw
with
you
him.
Brought a Linden. Is that what you're pouring?
I did.
I love Linden.
Brought in a Petit Verdot. And in Virginia, it's one of the few places where they will actually bottle Petit Verdot by itself. Petit Verdot comes from Bordeaux, France, where they use it as a blending grape. Typically, they use it in small quantities. It's a late ripener, so they often don't have a lot of it to use. But it adds a lot of structure, a lot of tannin, a lot of color. In Virginia, it doesn't get quite as tannic, so on its own, it's just a fabulous wine.
Well, and Linden has such a good reputation in Virginia, but I think, and I'm just curious, given your expertise, I think one of the problems I hear from people when it comes to Virginia wine and Linden specifically is that Linden is quite expensive. And people can't, how do you get people to want to spend money on really good Virginia wine?
Well, I think it's, you know, expensive is a relative term depending on who you are. For a wine, this wine's around $28. It can compete with any wine, in my opinion, across this country, around the world. So it's really more of a question of getting them to understand that in Virginia, they make wines, of the same quality, if not better, than other wines anywhere in the world. So we do a lot of tastings in both in the academy and in the shops where we'll do side-by-side tastings. It's a great way to get people to see that the quality is there. And, of course, in Virginia, all hand-picked fruit, small, very, you know, the people take a lot of care in these wines.
Yeah.
And I think that's important when you get people coming in to explain to them that that's how the wines are made here.
Tell us how you guys, we only have a minute, how you're participating in DC Wine Week.
Well, we are actually involved for years now.
Yeah, for 2 years. So sorry, John, I called you Jim because I was thinking of Jim Barker, who has always been, you know, we've done a co-branded event every year. This year we didn't, but we want to support them. So we've been, one of the great things about DC Wine Week is that if you can't make any events during the week, we try to support for the entire month all the citywide events. So we put happy hours up on our website of all events that are going on. So so we definitely promote them that way. And we're just big fans of theirs because they do a great job at demystifying wine, educating people, and they're such big Virginia wine ambassadors that you know, that we just think that's amazing.
Gotcha.
All right, Jim, tell everybody where they can find you.
All right, WashingtonWineAcademy.org, CrystalCityWineShop.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Okay. You've cornered the internet.
This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We've got more Wine Week, DC Wine Week, when we get back.
Hey, Mom. Why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number one albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Hillary Howard. Join me October 12th and 13th for the Law Enforcement Ride and Run to Remember. This year, we have 55 or 30-mile bike rides held at National Harbor Saturday, October 12th, and a 5K in Washington at the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Sunday, October 13th. The Law Enforcement Ride and Run to Remember raises funds and awareness while commemorating the service and sacrifice of law enforcement officers. Go to rideandruntoremember.org to register today.
If talking and texting interferes with a walk down the street, imagine what might happen if you're driving. Focus on the road, not your conversation. Your brain can't do both safely. No dialing, no talking, no texting to arrive safe.
Hi, I'm Brooke Delaney.
And I'm Congressman John Delaney.
As a teen, I know not to text while driving. My dad and I ask you to focus on the road, not your conversation.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Before we get back to the show, I just want to quickly thank the folks that make this show possible and say again to all of those who are not advertisers on the show, don't feel bad because I'm not mentioning your name. However, the folks in Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's the Two Rusticos, Evening Star, Tallulah Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, Church Key, and soon Blue Jacket, and Iron Gate.
Cannot
you
wait.
You betcha. The two founding farmers, fishers, and bakers down in the Georgetown Harbor Union Market. Mm-hmm. Early Mountain Vineyard. They've come up a couple of times today. The Carpenter Shelter, the American Land Board, the Virginia Wine Board, and our newest bunch of friends, Tavern 64, former guests on the show. So now we've got Cassandra Tressler with Tradewinds Wines, and she and her husband Esteve fell in love with Spanish wines somewhere along the way, and I'm going to guess Esteve did first.
I'm going to say he's Spanish.
That would be my guess.
Right? But... Well, he's Spanish. He's actually Basque. So.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wow. I don't want to start an argument.
Ran with the bulls in Pamplona. Thank you very much. All right. So tell us about Tradewinds.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm actually, as you said, I'm the manager for Tradewinds Specialty Imports for the marketing. So Tradewinds is a young and dynamic import and distribution company here in the district. It was founded in 2008 by my husband, Esteve Salgado, and we specialize in small boutique wines from family-owned wineries with a focus at this time in Spain and Argentina. With the fact, as you said, that my husband is from Spain, or rather the Basque Country,
Separate country.
Yes. And I've adopted actually a lot of that culture. And so our mission at Tradewinds is to bring the traditional values and customs surrounding century-old wine cultures like that of Spain to the tables of families here in the U.S. or to the families in the district.
So what kind of wine specific are you guys looking to bring over from Spain?
Well, we've actually been established since 2008, so we have quite a few wines here. We have anywhere from Tempranillos. We have actually wines from a lot of different regions there. So some of the wines you've tasted today are the Munia, which is from Ribera del Duero. We have some of our unique wines, which is Chocolí from actually northern Spain, where my husband is from. Unfortunately, I don't have that to taste today, but you do have a sherry that we will be tasting in a little bit.
How hard is it to start a business like that and get all the permits to import wines that haven't been here
before? I wish he was here to tell you about it. It is extremely difficult. Yeah, a lot of paperwork, a lot of back-end things. You know, unfortunately, it's not just going to the vineyards, tasting the wine, and just bringing it here. Right. There's a lot of back-end that goes to it.
So how do you go about how are you curating your wines? How do you and your husband go about curating the wines that you are trying to bring into the D.C. area?
Do you mean like how do we get it from?
No, not how do you import it, but you're curating wines from a specific area. So you must be looking to fill some holes that you don't feel that the market has. So what are you looking for?
Well, what we do is we actually go to small family-owned vineyards. Mm-hmm. So basically, we don't want anything that's mass-produced. Mm-hmm. We work directly. A lot of the winery owners or the winemakers themselves are close enough friends that they're almost family to us. A lot of them were at our wedding. You know, they're people that will come and stay with us. And those are the people that we really want to get their wines here, and we want to spread those wines out throughout the nation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how did you go from Spain to Argentina?
You know, that's a question
a plane,
I get.
Right? No?
You know, I don't know. You know, my husband actually, him being from Spain, of course, that's why he ended up bringing the Spanish wines here.
Right.
But to Argentina, I'm not sure, aside from the fact that Argentina has
terrific
amazing wines.
Right.
You know, but aside from that, I'm not quite sure why he chose specifically Argentina.
And what kind of wines did you bring in today?
Well, today I have, so the sherry is what I believe we're actually pouring for you now. We also have a new wine for us. It's a sweet wine. Mm-hmm. Generally, we don't carry any sweet wines, but this is a new wine for us. It is a Moscatel and a Palomino. Mm-hmm. And then I actually have a Rossignol Cava Brut, which is a fantastic wine. And I don't know if we're going to pour that for you today or if we're only going to do the sherry.
Okay. Well, how do you feel that people in D.C., I mean, given Derek Brown just opened up, you know, Mockingbird on the Hill as a sherry bar. I mean, how do you feel people are thinking of sherry these days?
You know, there's actually a huge sherry revolution going on. We're really excited for it. We have some of our sherries there as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of, I feel like it's a wine for, I don't want to say it's for the younger generation, but it's something that we are embracing. It's something that people are, you know, getting out of their boxes and kind of thinking, wow, this is something we really want to try. And fortunately, when they try it, they love it, and so it's been really fast.
Do you encounter any? Because I think of sherry, and because I'm a little older, is
no.
Well, as something that a couple of British gentlemen might, you know,
yeah,
have a
little
sip of with
that.
Their cigars at their gentlemen's club, waiting for Churchill to say something. So, so are you finding that people are going like sherry? That's an old dude's drink.
You know, in the beginning, I believe maybe, but I do think with all of the knowledge and all of the education going on about sherry, that people are really changing their minds.
No, I agree with you. I think you're seeing it on more menus. People are mixing it into cocktails. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot.
We actually
so
did.
Kinds.
Right.
Oh,
absolutely. We did an event at the Spanish Embassy last year, and we poured what you're going to be tasting, the Pedro Jimenez. We actually pour that over ice cream.
Exactly.
It smells so good.
Exactly. You get those raisin notes.
It's a good thing I'm driving.
I was drinking it. I just said
it smells so good.
Absolutely. Yeah, you get those dried figs, the raisins.
And how are you guys, how is Tradewinds participating in DC Wine Week?
So last night we actually donated some wine to the Wine Week. We're extremely excited to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. This is our first year being a part of the DC Wine Week. Mm-hmm. And we hope to be able to be involved in other upcoming events.
Absolutely.
So does Veritas have any left over?
If you get here quickly, we might have a little bit for you. We'll see how it goes. But no, definitely the sherries that we're tasting today, you can get at Veritas. We have them there. So
are you finding that people really, that they're just beginning to sort of get it? Or do they come in with a decent sherry knowledge and know what to ask for?
I think it's kind of a little bit of both. But it's always exciting to introduce somebody to sherry and see kind of their face light up, because they do have this preconceived notion that it's something